go, another straightforward passage for us today. Let me turn this one off so I'm not... hearing me once is enough, isn't it? Let me pray before we begin. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. Thank you so much that by your Holy Spirit you reminded Matthew of the words that Jesus taught. And by your Spirit you've preserved those words so that we can read them in English today. And by your Spirit... you make those words spiritual food for us. So, Father, we pray that we would feed on Jesus this afternoon. In his name we pray. Amen. But why is the world like it is? Why do bad things happen? Why do bad things happen even to Christians, people who are following God, who've committed to be part of his family? Can't God do anything about these bad things that happen in our lives? Or is it that he doesn't care enough? Why are the people in the world who are so anti-Christian, actually against Christians? People who mock, who ridicule, who persecute, or who even kill Christians? Doesn't God even... want to look after those people who've committed to him? Why isn't church bursting with people who want to know Jesus, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, the one who's made himself known through his word? If God's powerful, if Jesus really is the King of the Kingdom of Heaven, how come all of these things happen? Well, Jesus tells the parable of the wheat and the weeds to answer those questions. You see, the disciples had heard Jesus' teaching. They'd seen his miracles and they'd experienced trouble alongside all of that. In fact, Jesus had promised trouble, hadn't he? Do you remember a few weeks ago, when we read Matthew 10 and heard that Jesus warned the disciples and future Christians that there would be trouble ahead? And then we read in chapter 11 that strong people would oppose the growth of God's kingdom. And we found out that even the most spiritually advantaged people, those who had seen Jesus' miracles firsthand, those who had who'd benefited from his healing ministry, even those people didn't turn to Jesus. Then in chapter 12, the religious authorities were accusing Jesus of being in the pay of the devil. And last week, we heard about the parable of the sower, and Jesus told us there that not all the seed of the gospel falls on good soil. Well, imagine being one of those first disciples who experienced all of this firsthand. You'd have some serious questions for Jesus, wouldn't you? You'd be asking, why? Why? How come, Jesus, that when you preach, when you teach, when you perform miracles, there are still people who are against you? What is going on? So Jesus taught them, and he teaches us, the parable of the wheat and the weeds. On one level, it's pretty self-explanatory, isn't it, that parable? Jesus, the Son of Man, sows the good seed that grows into wheat, and the devil sows seed that grows into weeds, and they share the same field, which stands for the world. The wheat represents people who belong to the kingdom of heaven. In Jesus' language, that's people who have repented of their sin and have decided for themselves to come to Jesus, to follow him. And then, on the other hand, the weeds represent those who turn out to belong to the devil, those who refuse to repent and believe and don't ever in their life begin to follow Jesus. And then Jesus says at the end of the age, there'll be a day of judgment when the wheat and the weeds together will be harvested. The wheat, those who trust Jesus, will enter the kingdom of heaven. But the weeds, Those who've refused Jesus' offer time and time again will face the full force of God's eternal judgment. Now, it might be self-explanatory, but it's a hard teaching, isn't it? It's a difficult one to swallow. Jesus tells us that there are two types of people in the world. Those who intentionally and consciously have repented of their sins and consistently follow Jesus over the life of their 70 years, 80 years, however long, they'll go to heaven. And there's everyone else who consistently turns away from Jesus. And they will, according to verse 42, they'll be thrown into the blazing furnace where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. It's a hard teaching, isn't it? Because it leaves no room to sit on the fence. Those who aren't for Jesus are against him. Jesus says, let those who have ears, spiritual ears, hear and believe, even his hardest teachings. So Jesus tells us there are two types of people. Those who are the wheat, his people, and on the other hand, those who are the weeds, the devil's people. And we're all sown as one or the other. Weak people will prove to be wheat when they trust Jesus. Weed people will prove to be weeds because they've never turned to trust Jesus and never will. That means that if you've repented of your sin, if you've believed the good news of the gospel of Jesus and you've begun following him, then keep on trusting him because, praise God, you're wheat, which is a wonderful thing, isn't it? But if you haven't yet repented, if you haven't yet started believing in Jesus for yourself and following him, then I'm sure you know what to do today. So that's Jesus' basic teaching here. There's wheat and there are weeds. And his teaching is massively relevant to us today, isn't it? It has eternal implications. And we're hopefully going to see why it's so relevant over the next few minutes. We're going to see, firstly, that trouble happens, but God knows about it. Secondly, that trouble will end. God promises it. And thirdly, trouble doesn't stop kingdom growth, and God proves it. So firstly, trouble will happen, but God knows about it. Trouble for Christians comes in all sorts of different packages, doesn't it? An aggressive atheist at work. Mockers or bullies who make your life hard because you're a Christian. The liar who tells you that it doesn't matter if you fall into sexual or financial or any other sort of sin, even if that's in your head. Trouble from those who set their course against Jesus and against you, one of his people. Trouble from those who try to gag the church from proclaiming the whole of the message of the gospel. All sorts of trouble will happen. But the good news is, God knows about it. The field in the parable stands for the world. And in the world are God's people and there are the devil's people. And we've seen in Matthew's gospel, haven't we, how the devil's people, those who refused Jesus, have increasingly opposed him. We've seen religious leaders not shepherding the people. Jesus looked out on the crowd and saw that they were like sheep without a shepherd. We've been warned that there are wolves who will devour sheep, Christians, given half a chance. That violent people will oppose Jesus's people. And we've seen the religious leaders accuse Jesus of being on the same side as the devil. And we know what Jesus' opponents eventually did, don't we? Eventually, the Romans and the Jewish leaders between them managed to arrest Jesus and pin him to the cross. After that, 11 of the 12 apostles were put to death for following Jesus and for preaching and teaching about him. There were weeds growing at the same time as the wheat in Bible times. And the same's happened throughout church history. And it happens today. People oppose Jesus. People oppose his people. Sometimes with violent words. Sometimes with violent actions. And God knows about it. It doesn't surprise him. Because there's trouble in the world doesn't mean that God's plan is off course. This parable proves that, doesn't it? Jesus knows that there's going to be trouble for Christians. And that's the first thing the parable of the weeds and the wheat tells us. But it leaves us with a question, doesn't it? Why on earth doesn't God do something about it now? Why do we have to go through trouble now? If he's perfectly good and completely powerful, why does he allow trouble to carry on? Well, that's a very good question, and it brings us to the second thing that we're going to learn from Jesus today. Trouble will end. God promises it. In the parable, the wheat and the weeds growing side by side in the field will be harvested at the same time. They'll be taken up out of the field at the same time. And Jesus explains what that means. Look with me at the end of his explanation, starting halfway through verse 39. Jesus says, "The harvest is the end of the age, and the harvesters are angels. As the weeds are pulled up and burned in the fire, so it will be at the end of the age. The Son of Man will send out his angels, and they will weed out of his kingdom everything that causes sin and all who do evil. They'll throw them into the blazing furnace, where there'll be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Then the righteous will shine like the sun in the kingdom of their Father." One day the weeds will be pulled up and justice will be done. Those who've consistently refused Jesus will face God's settled, righteous judgment. Of course, that means that everyone who's not turned to Jesus in repentance and in faith will face God's wrath. Everyone. That means the nice people as well as the nasty people. Those who do good as well as those who make trouble. If they haven't turned to Jesus, they will face God's righteous and settled wrath. Because it's how we've responded to Jesus, the King of God's kingdom, the good King, the one who Jesus has enthroned over all. It's how we've responded to him that matters the most. And that's sobering, isn't it? It's very sobering when we think of our friends, our families, those we meet at work, those we meet on the bus, wherever. It's a very sobering thought. One day, Jesus will return and he'll judge the living and the dead, as we sometimes say in our creed. It's what the church has always believed, and it's because Jesus taught it. But praise be to God that Jesus hadn't returned before now. Praise be to God. Because if he had returned before now, I wouldn't have repented and believed. And nor would you. And that means that we'd be facing God's judgment. The Apostle Peter put it like this in his second letter. He said this: "Bear in mind that our Lord's patience, meaning that Jesus hasn't returned yet, means salvation. Bear in mind that our Lord's patience means salvation. Jesus hasn't returned yet because he's graciously patient. He's waiting for his people, all the wheat, to turn to him. But one day, as surely as night follows day, Jesus will return. But in the meantime, we have the time to tell the world about him, don't we? To go out into the harvest field and to bring in the wheat. And we've got time to pray that people would turn to Jesus before it's too late. And if we haven't yet turned to Jesus for ourselves, we know that we have time to do that. But it's urgent. And when Jesus does return, he'll do away with more than evil. He'll take his people to be with him in that new creation, where we'll shine like the sun. All will be as it should be, one day in the future. Trouble will be ended. It will be over. God has promised it. And know this, if you're wheat, if you're somebody who's repented and believed and is following Jesus, then one day all the darkness will be lifted. It will have gone. And you will shine like the sun in God's new creation. That doesn't mean to say that you will be the brightest star in the sky, as some people will say that Granny is when she's left this mortal coil. It means that you will be reflecting the glory of the risen Jesus in the new creation. You'll be with him. You'll see him face to face. You'll be exactly where you're designed to be. And there will be no sign of any trouble anywhere in that world. It will all be gone. But for now, we've got to wait patiently and hold on to this promise from 2 Corinthians. Paul writes, "For our light and momentary troubles are achieving for us an eternal glory that far outweighs them all." Which means that if you're going through trouble in your life, somehow God is building you an amazing house of glory in his new creation. What a wonderful thing that is. It means that there is meaning to the trouble that you're going through. It's not pointless. There's a purpose behind it. For our light and momentary troubles are achieving for us an eternal glory that far outweighs them all. So trouble happens. God knows about it. Trouble will end. God has promised it. But what about the growth of the kingdom of God, the growth of the church? Isn't it doomed to be strangled by weeds? Isn't it going to be a bit like my back garden come the middle of April or May? Well, far from it. So briefly, as we begin to wind up, trouble doesn't stop the kingdom from growing. God proves it. And that's what we learn from the parables of the mustard seed and the yeast that sit in the middle of the parable of the wheat and weeds and its explanation. The mustard seed looks like a tiny, insignificant and vulnerable little thing that will just get lost like a speck of dust. But plant it, and from that tiny, weeny, minute seed, a big mustard tree grows. So from a tiny wheat base, the kingdom of God grows. I look around the world and we can see that happening, can't we? The Christian faith got off to what looked like a decidedly shaky start. Its apostles nearly all killed within the first few decades of its existence. But through the Acts of the Apostles, the book that follows on from the Gospels and charts the first few decades of the church, we see the church growing and growing and growing and growing, thousands being added to their number as the gospel was proclaimed. And today, if we look around the world, there are millions, there are billions of people who name Jesus as their saviour. The church is bigger now than it has ever been in the history of the world. And Christians are all over the world, spread around every continent, every nation, in every corner, just like yeast spreads across a loaf of bread and expands it and grows it. So we can be totally confident, can't we, that even though there's trouble around, even though there might be trouble ahead, even though there are people who would like Christianity to disappear, even though there are real persecutors about, even though all of that, the kingdom of God will grow, and God has proved it. So why is the trouble about? Well, because there are two types of people. There's God's people, there's the devil's people. And some of the devil's people are aggressively anti-Christian. But God's not surprised by that. He hasn't lost control. His plan is still on course. But praise God for his patience, that we have time to come to Jesus even now. That if we put our trust in him, we've had time to come to him before now. And we know that if we're trusting in Jesus, on that last day of judgment, we're going to be taken to be with him in the new creation, to shine like the sun. There'll be no trouble. It'll be all gone. Everything will be as it should be. And praise God that the church will continue to grow until that day that Jesus returns. Whatever it looks like around us, God has promised, God has proved. Let me pray. Father, we thank you that Jesus taught this parable, that he didn't shy away from the hard things. Thank you that he's told us exactly why there's trouble, exactly what that means and its purpose. And we pray, Father, that we would trust him and that we would keep going and that we would prove to be wheat. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.